The seller feels her business is worth $12 million because of the potential for future growth. On the other hand, the buyer says, I only think the business is worth $8 million because I'm only looking at prior earnings, and future growth is way too speculative. And the buyer hires an appraiser who looked at the past earnings, used a 10%, 10-to-1 price earnings ratio, and said, current earnings are $800,000. Using a 10-to-1 PE ratio, your business is worth $8 million. But that's based on prior earnings. We don't know what future earnings are going to be. It's very speculative, and the buyer doesn't really want to be obligated upfront to pay a fixed amount for what are speculative earnings. So essentially, the seller thinks, you know, this business is great, and we've been expanding it, and you'll take it over, and it'll continue to expand, and we feel it's going to eventually earn $1.2 million, so we think the business is worth $12 million. So they can't agree, so what they do is they agree on an earnout. And they agree a minimum value of the business is $8 million, so the buyer says, I'll give you $8 million up front. But I'm not going to give you anything else unless the earnings increase. So they essentially enter into a standard earnout agreement. And the standard earnout agreement says that the buyer will give the seller 50% of any net income in excess of $800,000 a year for the next 8 years. Now, there's two problems with that. One is, what is net income? And I teach a course called Accounting for Lawyers, and the theme of the course is how management can manipulate financial statements to mislead the readers of financial statements and still have all the financial statements be prepared in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. So the biggest problem is using the term net income. You know, what is net income? Well, maybe we should use EBITDA. Oh, I'm using an acronym, earnings before interest deduction, you know, whatever it is. And so that is something that has nothing to do with the earnout directly, but indirectly, if you're going to base it on net income, you better go and define what things should be taken into account in determining net income. For the accounting profession, they don't allow prior period adjustments, so you can have a big bath write-off in the current year, which is really all attributable to prior years. There's all sorts of things. So I'm not going to get into that because that's a separate topic in and of itself. So let's look at a very simple example. $8 million up front, and we're going to give the seller 50% of all net income in excess of $800,000. So look what happens. And remember, they basically valued the business using a 10-to-1 PE ratio. So in the first year, the net income is $900,000. So the excess is of $100,000. So the seller gets $50,000. Okay, everything's fine. The next year, the business goes up and increases to $1 million. So now the seller, after $200,000 excess, the seller gets 50% of that, $100,000. The third year, it's 1.12. You see that 1.21 there? Change that 1 in the third row to a 3. All right. Well, there's typos, but all right. So in the third year, it's 1.1 million, $300,000 excess. The seller gets 150. In the fourth year, the business has appreciated significantly because it's generating the 1.2 million that the seller thought the business could generate in the future, and the seller gets $200,000. Now, the earnout payment is fixed for only 8 years. So we see that by year four, the business has reached the threshold that the seller expected it. And of course, a lot of what the buyer says is, well, most of the reason it reached the threshold of 1.2 million was because of what we did for the business. And if we didn't if we didn't come in and help you out, the business would have stagnated at maybe 900,000. You have all these things to do. But what happens here is, you can see in years 5, 6, 7, and 8, the business keeps improving, and the seller gets a portion of even the earnings in excess of $1.2 million. In year 7, the excess over $800,000 is $500,000, and the seller is getting $250,000 of it. So at the end of the earnout term, the seller has gotten an extra $1,600,000, and the seller is very happy. But wait a minute. If we use the, remember, and both the buyer and seller agreed that a 10-to-1 price earnings ratio was appropriate. Well, using 10-to-1, that means the business was really worth $12 million if you look at what the seller thinks it could increase to. So the seller got $8 million, but the business went up from $8 million to $12 million. So the seller said, I should have gotten $4 million more. But all that the seller got was $1.6 million more. So in a sense, in this situation, the seller should have received an extra $4 million. But by using this earnout that wasn't well thought through, the seller only received an extra $1.6 million, shifting $2.4 million of value to the buyer.